First off, when John asked me to preach, I said yes, because I knew exactly what I wanted to talk about, and it was 5 minutes long. But that doesn't make a sermon. So if you listen to anything this Sunday, listen to the last 5 minutes of the message, okay? Because that's the important stuff. Actually, it's all good. It's all good. I wanted to start out with this little poem I found by Rudyard Kipling. This little poem's called God's Minute. I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. In Psalm 90:12, Moses kind of chimes in and says this: "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And then Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:16, he says, or verse 15, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." And so on this first Sunday of the year, we need to take some time to really consider these words. Numbering our days, making good use of them. And so, really, to do this effectively, the message this morning is called Start or Begin with the End in Mind. We have to begin 2021 with the end of 2021 in mind. But before we do that, to get started this morning, we have to go back to the beginning. The very beginning. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And it's hard to get to that page sometimes because it's right at the very beginning, unless you have a digital copy. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And then in verse 31 and chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array." And that's where we stop. For many of us, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and that was it. He was done. He created everything, and that was it. Many of us have this kind of this thought, that we say, yes, God is our Creator. But what has He created lately? We think back at Genesis and we say, God created everything, the heavens and the earth. He created it all. And that was it. That was the pinnacle of His creation. That was the pinnacle of what it means to be Creator. Was He made the heavens and the earth. And then He stopped creating. Think about that for just a moment. This idea of what has God created lately? See, science has given us reasons for a lot of what happens in the world today. The order of everything. You know, we look at Scripture and God talks about how He formed and fashioned each and every one of us in our mother's womb. And science says, hey, it's all genetic. X meets Y and this does this. And then next thing you know, you've got this baby. And so science has ruled out a lot of what Bible would have fashioned as creative. God working creatively in His earth continuously. So while you're thinking a little bit about that, turn with me to Psalm chapter 104. We We're going to bounce around a little bit today. But that's because I found some amazing verses I want to share with you guys. Psalm 104, starting in verse 24, and we're going to read through 30. It says, "How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you formed, to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When they take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground." This psalm isn't talking about humans. It's talking about animals. It's talking about wildlife. It's interesting that it mentions the sea teeming with millions and billions of species of animals. Scientists are still discovering new species. I remember a few years ago seeing an article about how they discovered a brand new spider here in Oregon in a cave. After thousands of years, they just discovered this new species of spider in a cave here in Oregon. Like, where was it before? Why didn't we see it before? And I think it's because God keeps creating new species. The verse says right here, when He sends His Spirit, they are created. And God is still at work creating. I love this verse that says He renews the face of the ground. See, science has this thing that tells you that all of the resources of the earth are they're finite. They're going to run out. We're going to run out of fossil fuel. We're going to run out of oil. We won't be able to have gasoline anymore. So we have to research these new ways of producing power. Well, the truth is God renews the surface of the ground daily. There will always be another discovery of another pool of oil. And I believe, personally, it's because God creates it and puts it there for us to find. Because He is creator. And He is creative. And there's some words that have been common through this. This word wise and wisdom. And it's going to become important here in a minute. Our God is creator. And He still is creating. And there is one thing that you can take comfort in 2021. And that's in Psalm 33. Verse 11. "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations." The Lord knows what this year holds, and He has ordained it. And He has already begun creating it. We're on January 3rd. God's already created 3 days of 2021 for us. He has this plan. It stands firm. He knows exactly where the world is headed. He knows exactly what 2021 has in hold for us. And He has ordained it. He's planned it. And He's creating it. And we can take comfort in that. We might not know what circumstances we will face in 2021, but God does. And it's in His plan. The rest of Psalm 33, if you step back to 10 and read through 22, this is what it says. "The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. It doesn't matter what comes in 2021, because we are held in the hand of the God who created everything. And we get the privilege to watch his creation unfold. As we stand here this Sunday, we get to look down the path and we get to enjoy what God makes in 2021. Sure, there will be difficulties and there will be trials. There will be circumstances. There will be things unexpected. Look at last year. Most of that was completely unexpected. And we did a lot of reacting to what happened in 2020. We get to see the works of his hands. But we are not to just be passive observers. If nothing else, 2020 taught us that we needed to be intentional about our lives. Otherwise, we wind up reacting to every situation that comes our way. Genesis 1:26 says, "Let us make man in our image." And then God created man in his image. In his image, he made them, male and female. He made us in his image, which means he made us to be creative too. So as we begin 2021, we need to begin with the end in mind. So what I mean by that is that we need to look at who we want to be at the end of this year. What is it that you want to do this year? Look at the end, when we get to December 31st, and you were to reflect back on this year, what is it that you want to be? What is it that you want to do? And we have to be intentional about doing that. We have to make plans and goals to accomplish that. Kind of a little bit what John talked about already. He's kind of trying to steal my thunder here. You cannot know the circumstances you will face this year, but you can know who you want to be and make intentional plans to do those things to get you there. So there is this little known principle. I have to be honest. When this principle came my way, I thought, this is great. It makes lots of sense up here, but is it even biblical? There are two creations for everything. There is a first creation and there is a second creation. And by that, what I mean is that there is a first creation. That means that everything is created in your mind first. Think about this church. It was created in somebody's mind first. They drew it out on a blueprint, on a plan, and then they built the building. So everything is created first in our mind, and then second, it is physically created. It is created by what we do. And so we need to really spend time this week thinking about what it is that we want to create in 2021. By looking at our values, by looking at our beliefs, by looking at what we want to become by the end of the year, and then make the blueprint, the plans to do those things. God has given us an imagination and wisdom so that we can choose the outcomes that we want in life. So we can take time to dream, to imagine this space where we can think of, I can think of a lot of crazy things in my imagination. And actually sometimes if you leave me alone, it reverts to very childlike, you know, I start singing the ABC song in the car. I mean, like, it's like, whoa, I my mind can go off into some tangents. But I can imagine a lot of things. And God says to do that. God says to dream big. God says you can't outdream Him. He says He's capable of doing immeasurably more than you could ever imagine. So we have, let your imagination run wild. But then we have wisdom that tells us what is right to do. Tells us how to accomplish those dreams. Which one of those wild dreams is God's dream and not your dream? I wanted to be a lot of different things when I was a kid. I first wanted to be the President of the United States because I thought he had the power to change the world. Then I wanted to be a basketball star, but I wasn't tall enough. Then I wanted to be a missionary, and then I wanted to be a preacher and a teacher, and you name it. I watched a movie, some documentary, some story, and then I wanted to do that. Like, I wanted to be a pianist at one point. There was all kinds of dreams. But God has individually gifted us with talents. And that's where wisdom says, hey, this is what your talent base is. Here's your dreams. Here's your talent base. Let's put them together and let's create something new in 2021. I remember one of the first communion services that I wanted to preach. I wanted to preach a remembrance sermon. And I wanted to talk about how we remember all the great things we've done in the past. And I was gearing up to prepare that message, and God said, no. I was like, no? And matter of fact, He said, no. I don't want you to even bring up the past of this church. I want you to talk about how I'm doing something new.
Amen.
I'm doing something new. And if you knew what I was doing, you wouldn't believe me. That's the verse says. And so we need to begin with that first and second creation. The second creation is action. God has also given us the power to make those outcomes a reality. He said He would empower us. He would enable us. He's equipped us. He's made us more than sufficient for what He has put in our heart to do. So He has given us the power. I love what omnipotence means. Omnipotence, omni means all, and potence means power. But I love the definition of what all-powerful God is. It is, there is nothing or no one that can thwart His plans. He is powerful enough to make His plan come to pass. And so God has put in our heart a dream, a vision, and then He has empowered us to make those outcomes a reality. And when we know God's will and walk in God's will, there is no one or nothing that can thwart that plan from coming to pass. So this principle is found in Proverbs chapter 8. So turn with me there. Proverbs chapter 8 is a really interesting passage. And it highlights this principle. And before we read this, I want to ask you then, what happens if we are not intentional with the lives that we create? What happens if we don't do this? What happens if we don't begin with the end in mind? What happens if we don't imagine and plan? We empower other people and circumstances outside of our control to shape our lives by default. We were created in God's image. We were created to be creative. And if we don't create, other people are creating for us. we walk these paths that other people have shaped and formed for us to walk. And they may or may not be good. They may not be God's best. So we have to be intentional about this because it's happening by default anyways. But Proverbs chapter 8, starting in verse 12, it says, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power. By me kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. I love that part. By me kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. That wisdom, the imagination and wisdom. God has given us the wisdom. And then if you pick up in verses 22 through 29, it says, the Lord brought me forth as the first of His works, before His deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be, when there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before He made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth. I was there when He set the heavens in place, when He marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when He established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when He gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep His command, and when He marked out the foundations of the earth. Wisdom, God's mind. It says right here, wisdom's like, this was God's first creation. Wisdom. God first, in His mind, through wisdom, planned all of His creation. And then wisdom says, then I was there when He created the world. He followed the plan that He had in place, in mind, when He created all of the heavens and the earth. Even God uses first creation and second creation. Even God, through wisdom, planned the whole universe and then created that universe while wisdom watched Him follow the plan that He had created. So my challenge for you to begin this year is to begin with the end in mind. And in order to do that, we must develop what is called a personal mission statement. We need to take time and write down our very own personal mission statement. A personal mission statement focuses on what you want to be. That's your character. Who I want to be as a person. And to do. What contributions or achievements do you want to reach this year? And on the values or principles upon which those being and doing are based. Every highly effective person has a personal mission statement. This doesn't have to do with the church or not the church. See, this works outside of the church. This works in business. This works in government. This works if you don't even believe in God. People write a personal mission statement. They look at their principles and their values and they say, this is what I want to become and this is what I want to do. And then they follow that guideline every day of their life. And that's why it's so important for you to write down your own personal mission statement, is so that you can A, wake up every morning and review it. Putting it in your mind that everything that I do today is going to take me one step closer to becoming or doing what I want to become or what I want to do. Through that wisdom that God has given me, we have picked His will. He's showed me what His will is, and now we're walking in it. And then at the end of the day, reviewing it again to reflect upon that day and ask yourself, did what I do today get me closer to becoming what God wants me to become? I want to read just an example or two of what a personal mission statement is like. It can be long, it can be short. I'm going to close with four categories that I believe should be a part of every person's mission statement. Guaranteed. But before that, here's an example of a couple mission statements, personal mission statements. This woman was seeking to balance family and work, and the values expressed her sense of personal mission differently. My home will be a place where I and my family, friends, and guests find joy, comfort, peace, and happiness. Still, I will seek to create a clean and orderly environment, yet livable and comfortable. I will exercise wisdom in what we choose to eat, read, see, and do at home. I especially want to teach my children to love, to learn, and to laugh, and to work and develop their unique talents. I value the rights, freedoms, and responsibilities of our democratic society. I will be a concerned and informed citizen involved in the political process to ensure my voice is heard and my vote is counted. I will be a self-starting individual who exercises initiative in accomplishing my life's goals. I will act on situations and opportunities rather than to be acted upon. I will always try to keep myself free from addictive and destructive habits. I will develop habits that free me from old labels and limits and expand my capabilities and choices. My money will be my servant, not my master. I will seek financial independence over time. My wants will be subject to my needs and my means. Except for long-term home and car loans, I will seek to keep myself free from consumer debt. I will spend less than I earn and regularly save or invest part of my income. Moreover, I will use what money and talents I have to make life more enjoyable for others through service and charitable giving. That's one person's personal mission statement. Something that she reviews daily. Here's another one. This one has to do with this man took the time to think about all of his roles, who he was. He was a father. He was a son. He was, you know, a leader. He was a businessman. And he wrote a little mission statement for every role that he could think of. Let me get to that page real quick. There it is. My mission is to live with integrity and to make a difference in the lives of others. To fulfill this mission, I have charity. I seek out and love the one, each one, regardless of its situation. I sacrifice. I devote my time, talents, and resources to my mission. I inspire. I teach by example that we are all children of a loving Heavenly Father and that every Goliath can be overcome. I am impactful. What I do makes a difference in the lives of others. These roles take priority in achieving my mission. A husband. My partner is the most important person in my life. Together we contribute the fruits of harmony, industry, charity, and thrift. Father, I help my children experience progressively greater joy in their lives. Son or brother, I am frequently there for support and love. A Christian, God can count on me to keep my covenants and to serve His other children. My neighbor, the love of Christ is visible through my actions toward others. I'm a change agent. I'm a catalyst for developing high performance in large organizations. And I'm a scholar. I learn important new things every day. So this week, be thinking about your personal mission statement. I think that what we'll do is we're going to post some other scriptures on our Facebook page, revolving around these categories, just as catalysts or thought provokers to really kind of help you work with God and wisdom to decide what my mission statement is going to be. But these are the four categories, important categories that need to be a part of your personal mission statement. And the first one is family. What does it mean to manage your family well? 1 Timothy 3:1 through 5 says, "Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever inspires to be an overseer does a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not a violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church?" So the first thing that's important in this mission statement is family. And to really ask yourself that question, what does it mean to manage your family well? The second one is friends. In Proverbs 27, it's a few verses in here, as a kind of a kickstart to this thought. Proverbs 27, verse 6, 9 and 10 and 17. 6 says, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family, and do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." What kind of a friend do you want to be? That's the question. What kind of a friend do you want to be? And Scripture talks a lot about what a friend is. "Greater love has no man than this, than he lays down his life for his friend." Work is also another category. And some people are still working vocationally. Some people are retired. But work is still a part of our life, regardless of what station or position that we are found in. And Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 says this about work. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." What is the purpose of your work? And why do you work? Those are two very important questions you have to ask yourself. What is the purpose of your work? Where you're working at, what is their purpose? Is their purpose in line with what God's purposes are of your heart? And why do you work? See, many people work to live, and some people live to work. And you have to ask yourself, why do you work? And the last one and the fourth part that needs to be part of your personal mission statement is the church. Think about your role here with God's family, in the church, and how you can be a part of it. Are you being the church? Are you living the church? Acts 2:42-47. I love this description of what the church is. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's the church. That's what life in the church should look like, feel like, be. And you have to ask yourself, in your personal mission statement, how are you going to fulfill that church plan? How are you going to be a part of God's mission and vision to reach the lost and hurting world? There is something broken in the church, in my opinion, when people aren't being added daily and souls being saved. There's something that's gone wrong in American church. Revival spirit is dead. And it's because of things that we let creep into our lives and into our churches. And it's because whether we had good intentions or not, it's happening by default. And it's happening by default because we have not first stopped and begun with the end in mind. We can take this even further. Picture your very own funeral. And there at that funeral, you're kind of floating there, and your family, one of your family members gets up. What do you want them to say about your life? What do you want to hear them say about you at your own funeral? Your best friend gets up. What do you want your friend to hear him say about your life and how you impacted his life? Your church fellow gets up. Maybe the pastor, maybe a brother, but somebody from the church gets up and he shares about what your contributions have been to the church and how you supported the church and how you helped the church. And what are those things that you want to hear be said about you? One of your work partners gets up. Does your work partner share at all about how he knew you were a Christian? Or are you different at work? You know, there's so much to consider and to think about. But the result is we will never accomplish or meet anything. We won't become who God wants us to become if we don't take time to consider the end. What is God's end for you? And it may not be crystal clear. Because I could stand here and say, for me, I don't know what God's end is for my life. I can't see the very end. But you know what? I can still consider what it is that God wants me to be while I am taking steps in His will. While every day I get closer to my grave, and when I get there, what do I want my children to say about me? What do I want my pastor to say about me? What do I want my friends to say about me? And those things can drive us every day closer to the Lord, closer to becoming like Christ. We have to be intentional about it, or it won't happen.